In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. This is the gospel that is given to us this morning as we contemplate the great mystery that is revealed to us of the Most Holy Trinity, that intimate communion of persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, shown forth to us first in the person of our Savior, who teaches us to call God our Father and exhorts us to pray to Him and find our confidence in Him. That same Savior leaves us and ascends to His glory, not to leave us bereft or orphaned, but to send the Spirit, the Paraclete, the Consoler, who continues to teach and unfold and admonish us in order that we know what it is we ought to do and may have the strength to do it. This revelation of Father, Son, and Spirit then is a revelation of the community into which all of us are drawn. We are created in the image and likeness of God. This is what the Church teaches us, what Scripture reveals to us. And part of that image is that we are created for communion, for communio, for relationship one with another. It is only truly in forging relationship with the Blessed Trinity that the world can be transformed and proper community can truly be realized. There is no sense of community or communio that is apart from God. And any attempt to create such a thing only leads to chaos and division and strife. This is sadly the world in which we find ourselves. Men, in pursuing this understanding, their own understanding, a human understanding of what human relationships should look like, have set off in order to transform the world. But in doing so, they only seek to crush other people, to put them under their thumbs, to create a world, a new order that they themselves have crafted that has nothing to do with the revelation of God. Because the communio that is fostered in God brings about peace. It brings about joy, most especially in the midst of difficulty and sacrifice, precisely because of the promise that God gives to us. I will be with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. And brothers and sisters, God is giving us in so many ways an opportunity to put into practice the faith that is required to accept what He says to us. Either you believe this and you live accordingly, or you do not. And if you choose not to believe the words of God, all that you will be left with is chaos, confusion, and discord. There will be no peace, not a peace that comes from resignation, not a peace that comes from denial, but a peace that comes from being involved in this perfect communion into which we are drawn. And then because we are drawn unto love perfectly revealed, we are then able to go forth and to share that love perfectly revealed with all whom we meet. This means most especially our enemies and our persecutors. And as we well know, and it's becoming even more obvious, they have revealed their faces to us, and they have set about the proper destruction of us. How we resist and how we respond, those things remain to be seen, what they will look like in the courses that we will take. But as we take whatever various courses we take, we do so with confidence in God, in faith in the Lord, in the power of the promise. We do not seek or begin or end anything of our own making, of our own doing, of our own fashioning. It simply will not bring about peace. It will not bring about our desired end. And our desired end is not only the caretaking of and the continuation of the traditional sacraments. Our desired end is to properly worship God as God desires to be worshipped. That means we, first and foremost, must have the disposition to give God all glory, honor, and praise. To do that certainly with our lips, but more importantly, with the lives that we lead. Those lives then must be rooted in this intimate relationship into which we are drawn, and we must be men of peace. That peace must then also be here in our own community. And we must work assiduously to avoid anything that might divide or separate us. We must avoid all acrimony. Yes, there are differences because we are different people. But the differences need not be a source of contention, of fractiousness, because our harmony and our unity is in God, in Christ. And again, brothers and sisters, as I preach these things to you, these are not mere words. You have to ask yourself, do I actually believe what is being preached to me? And am I convicted of the things that are being said? And am I willing then to live accordingly? I cannot compel you to believe. I cannot bend your arm or drop into your brain or get into your heart. I can only preach again and again what it is that you ought to do. But these words are not mine. They come from God and what we hear in sacred scripture. And if we want success, if we want continuation, not in the eyes of men, but in the sight of God, it will be living what we hear in our gospel. God is with us, brothers and sisters, even unto the end of the world. Therefore, there is nothing that any man, however powerful he might be, whether he be in the church or outside of the church, there is nothing that any man can do to us and do to Holy Mother Church. Will we look like we have always looked? The answer is no, because we don't look like we always look now. We know things change, buildings come and go, but the church perdures. God continues, and he has promised us, and he always fulfills his promises. And so I'll pause and regain just a modicum of my own peace in order to remind us of what it is that we are about and the great blessing that God has given us to celebrate this perennial sacrament, this great traditional celebration of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Yes, we must work assiduously to protect and defend. But we do so in a manner that is reflective of love, of confidence in God, of the power and the promises that have indeed been fulfilled. Not our own intuition, our own machinations, or our own industry, but always first and last, God, Him, and Him alone. And why? Because the Lord has revealed the fullness of Himself to us, a Father who loves us deeply and completely. A Son who is our brother, who chose to give his life in order that we might be set free. And their spirit, that spirit of love that binds and holds us all together. They have drawn us unto themselves. They have invited us into their very life. And in that love, we should find confidence and strength, not only to rejoice and to find joy and peace, but also to stand with great confidence against any and all manner of things that might come at us. And if we are required to sacrifice, if we are required to make the greatest of sacrifices, the shedding of our blood and the gift of our bodies, we rejoice that we have been found worthy to suffer in the name of our Lord and to now truly give the complete and ultimate witness to this love into which we have been drawn. And all of this we do because we believe what it is that our Lord has said, "I am with you always to the end of the age." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.